first full episode here, right?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, because our first full episode since November.
We can't say that. What? That's so embarrassing.
No, I was like, it's true.
It's so true.
It's true.
What?
Our first full episode since November. It's okay. We put in the work in November to make that possible.
We're finally in with book three, Bella. Breaking Dawn, the last... We can call it, it's not a third of Breaking Dawn, it's half of Breaking Dawn that's left.
It's ridiculous.
It's 20 chapters, by the way, if you care. This book is 750 pages long. And this might be one of the longest books I've ever read. Besides Game of Thrones.
It must be.
We've totally turned a corner in terms of the contents of this book.
What's been happening in the world for the last few months?
Winter.
Genocide.
Yes, genocide.
I'm trying to think if there's anything Twilight related going on. Kristen Stewart's doing like press tours for
Love Lies Bleeding, which I still haven't seen, but
I haven't either.
I really would like to see it. There's been real talk. There's been some real
serious talk
of a Twilight story being shopped as an animated series.
Yeah,
it's being shopped. So who knows? It could get shot down.
I don't really like animated series.
Yeah,
they don't capture me. Some of them I can tolerate. And some of them I even enjoy.
Lori once said to me famously that she's scared of animation.
Yeah, I don't like animated things very much. I can tolerate some of them. I enjoy Adventure Time, but I won't choose to watch it.
No.
If somebody else is watching it, I enjoy
only
it.
If me and Alex put it on.
Yeah. And we're like, hey, watch this. Me and Alex. It's rare that I would choose to watch something animated.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a real struggle for me if this happens.
If it happens. And Stephenie Meyer did say in 2020 when Midnight Sun came out that she did see Midnight Sun as something that could be adapted into an animated series better than a live action.
Something else that I don't like, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't like when they take movies that have been animated and make them live action.
Yes.
Like all the Disney ones.
Yes.
I simply cannot abide.
Yeah. No, absolutely. that's true. You like old Disney animation.
Yeah, that's okay with me because it's not, I don't know. I don't like adult animation very much.
Okay, yeah.
Like things that are animated and also intended for adults. Mm-hmm. I'm like not like... I don't know.
Who would the audience for a Midnight Sun animated series be?
No fucking idea. You know? Us, I think.
I don't know.
Right?
I guess.
Hypothetically, yeah. Hypothetically, we would be the audience,
adults,
right?
But
people that have Twilight, who are the right age when Twilight came out, that they're into it. Plus, probably people a little bit younger than us that are.
I bet they would try
driving
to make
the Renaissance,
it.
Right? Like something that's like
younger. Yeah,
I would say millennial Gen Z probably.
It is about high schoolers, so
yeah.
So that's starting to feel more and more real, even though, like, I remember like. People have been kind of whispering about something for at least 4 years.
Think that I might prefer this to like Stephenie writing a trilogy about Renesmee and Jacob.
Yeah,
which has been the other threat that we've been living under for quite some time.
This has been on my mind. That's why I'm wearing this shirt today. I'm wearing my Bug Girl shirt that says, I'll shut up about feminism as soon as I get another Twilight movie. And I just feel so blessed to have a shirt that is so completely ironic to how I feel. The opposite. I feel the opposite. If we get another Twilight movie, which I don't want to happen, I will absolutely not be shutting up about feminism. It will be my villain origin story.
Yeah.
Let's all manifest that it doesn't happen, you guys.
Right. Oh, something else I wanted
How could they possibly
plug.
Do that?
So, have you watched Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon?
No, but I want to.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like a really well-made series.
Okay,
It's interesting enough. Like, I think the topic is interesting enough that like... It's definitely worth watching. What I would actually recommend even more so than that, though I think that's important context walking into this next thing, is there's this YouTuber who, it's like, the account is called Quentin Reviews. I think his name's Quentin Hoover, maybe. And he has been doing, like, really, really long-form video essays and analyses of iCarly, Sam and Cat.
That's right.
The tie into Twilight that I'm gonna get here is that he just released a video yesterday, I think, maybe a couple days ago. I watched it yesterday on Dan Schneider, who's the creator of all these shows that people, including Jeanette McCurdy in her book, I'm Glad My Mom Died, which is one of the best books that I've read, period. have talked a lot about the environment that he made at Nickelodeon, and like not only the environment, the way he treated the employees, the way he treated like the writers, adult writers, adult women, the teens that he was working with inappropriately, but also the content that made it into the series that was problematic, over sexualized.
Yeah.
Lots of like you could say foot fetish content, but like just like really showing off teen girls' feet.
Yeah.
In a really interesting way.
You know what? Now that you're saying that, mm-hmm. I can totally recall that being a theme.
iCarly, it's all over the place. Yeah. It's like Victorious, all that. Like just, it's, I never watched those shows. And so like looking back, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like looking back, it's like, oh my God. Anyway, so very interesting video that he did yesterday about Dan Schneider. At the very end, there's this really, really interesting section of it where he's talking about, like, enjoying things and, like, disassociating things from their problematic parts.
Mm-hmm.
And, like how do people navigate that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that he was saying are, like, I think very relevant to a lot of the conversations that we have about Twilight, right? Yeah. Because it's, like, how can you have, like, how do you balance having such nostalgia and care for, like, characters and stories and concepts that someone created and, like, feel this, like, weird tension or protection around, like, you're trying to protect them from the person that created them.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a weird place to be. And he was talking about that and also, like, how people navigate that and whether that's, like, through ignoring
mm-hmm.
and, like, completely, like, separating. Which he,
art from artist.
Yes, art from artist, right. Which he's like proposes is like impossible, right? And I agree.
Yeah.
Especially when you can see these things not only coming up in like the way that the creators of these things act outside of their works, but also like reading this, it's like you can't.
No.
Because it's a part of what it is. Anyway, yeah. So I just thought that was a really fascinating video. I was sitting there like, oh my God, it's called We Don't Talk About Dan Schneider. His account is Quentin Reviews. It's very like it's a very nuanced thing.
Nice.
And he's like, how do I balance the fact that I'm coming across these really horrifying things that were full of like exploitation, etc., and also that I'm having a really good time enjoying the content that they're a part of too.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely worth a watch.
Yeah.
Especially if you've gotten into the Quiet on the Set stuff. I feel like it's a better take than that docuseries.
The Quentin.
I think Quentin's is better. Because they're by nature of like trying to get views, I think.
Well, there's like an exploitation that can happen exactly. Just in trying to they're expose
like
what happened.
Showing all of these like clips of like Ariana Grande as a child and like all these people as children, and they're like, look at how awful this is. And it's like, you are presenting these clips over and over. They're showing these clips multiple times.
Oh, God.
As basically like B-roll footage.
Yeah.
Like interspersed with people talking about like the experiences they had working on these shows, and also like larger problem than Dan Schneider alone, like there were actual convicted like pedophiles, people who committed child sexual assault working on these shows. Mm-hmm. And so like it's like those things interspersed with like this footage that they're saying this is bad, this is exploitation, this is blah blah blah, and it's like you are showing that over and over to get people amped up about this thing,
right? Yeah, that's yucky.
Yeah, it was yucky. It's just, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's
he takes a lot of care with the topics
mm-hmm.
that I really enjoy his work.
I feel like we talk about that tension so much, obviously, mm-hmm. the tension between enjoying and exploring like real harm. I almost wonder if there's like a term that's been coined for that.
Yeah.
And I have not heard one. If anyone's heard one, like, let me know. If not, I'm going to have to start trying to coin it myself.
Yeah. That's a threat and a promise.
Yeah, because it's honestly, like, to talk about it over and over again, it's like, there should be a shorthanded way to refer to this phenomenon that is the constant experience of reading a book like Twilight or Breaking Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's been going on in the world.
That's what's up.
Discourse. Back to genocide for a second.
Sure, yeah.
I have been putting in the most recent episodes that we uploaded. We always have our Move to Higher Ground like mm-hmm. link in the description of these episodes. There's also a link that I've been putting, I believe it's to this really well made like Excel doc for it's like GoFundMes and fundraisers and mm-hmm. such for families that are trying to evacuate Gaza, and also mutual aid for people that are not evacuating Gaza and are mm-hmm. and are you know trying to feed neighbors and such like mm-hmm. that. So it's a really great easy way to like help somebody right now, and you can check that out in the description. I'll maybe like throw some other links in as well for like eSIMs and stuff like that, because it's always nice to have on hand. But we talk about genocide a lot on this podcast.
We sure do.
And you know, the genocide of indigenous people, which is what's happening right now in Palestine and mm-hmm. has been happening. So I know our audience probably knows that already, but always a good reminder to give when you can.
Yeah.
And do something when you can. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Portland 1 in 4 people voted for?
Yes. Yeah. We had it like many places. We had an effort here in Maine and in Portland specifically to write in ceasefire during the Democratic primary or just the primaries mm-hmm. in general. 1 in 4 people in the city of Portland chose to
leave their ballot blank.
Yeah. Or effectively write in ceasefire. Which is really sick.
Yeah.
That was an action that only had like a week of mm-hmm. of preparation. Mm-hmm. So
cool. Very cool. And that's happening across the country as well with primaries. Mm-hmm.
Fuck Joe Biden.
For real. Genocide Joe.
Yeah. This section though, however, is
it's all about Bella.
It's all about Bella, and it's quite a turn from kind of the turmoil that we've been in. Mm-hmm. There's actually very little in this section that I got to roll my eyes at, which was like nice.
There's like some stuff, but it's rare.
But mostly we're having some descriptions. We read 3 chapters today. Mm-hmm. These 3 chapters
and a preface.
Woohoo! And
a quote.
Yeah, and an epigraph. And mm-hmm. this is a good epigraph. Mm-hmm. I like this is an Orson Scott Card epigraph. We know Stephanie Meyer.
It kind of goes hard.
Yeah, it goes hard. Yeah. Stephanie Meyer's a fan of Orson Scott Card. It's a quote from Empire. It says, "Personal affection is a luxury you can have only after all your enemies are eliminated. Until then, everyone you love is a hostage, sapping your courage and corrupting your judgment." It goes hard.
Yeah.
It's also like, I am reading Discovery of Witches, the also trilogy right now. It feels like it fits in with that.
Yeah, it totally does.
And I will be saying from now until this point, and now from this point, from this point, through the future, if I can figure out how to say it, Twilight fans would love Discovery of Witches.
Oh, you gotta read it. Finally, we got Sam on the bandwagon.
Yeah, finally.
I showed Sam 2 episodes. We talked about it for our
minisode. Yeah.
And then I bought the trilogy so that I could reread it. And Sam's reading it actually way faster than I am.
Yeah, I finished the first 2 books.
Because I am reading the Quran for Ramadan.
Yes.
Which is also good.
Yes. So our book recommendations are the Quran.
The Quran and Discovery of Witches.
Anyway, just got so distracted. Yeah. But this section is 3 chapters that are basically about, I guess this is the summary.
The transformation.
Yeah, Bella's transformation, her recent memory of what we just read. Mm-hmm. Jacob was kind of talking about the birth. So we get mm-hmm. a little bit of Bella's perspective on the birth and then her transformation into a vampire, as well as her first sort of interactions with Edward and the Cullens, mm-hmm. minus Rosalie and Jacob and Renesmee. And also her first experience of going hunting with Edward and sort of getting her footing in her vampire body.
Yep.
So that's what's going on.
But the preface is actually, one of Bella's dreams, right?
Or and is it a dream?
It's either a dream or it's like we're getting a glimpse of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. She's saying it's like a dream that she's had.
Yeah. For sure. So we get a little glimpse at the Volturi stalking towards the Cullens, we assume. Mm-hmm. Stalking towards them and trying to kill them, and her growling.
Yeah. Bella having more of like a predator instinct.
Yeah.
Instead of being afraid.
Yeah. So we get a glimpse that that's
she got claws.
Happening. Yeah. She's actually part of the story now.
Yeah. Chapter 19 is burning.
There's so little to say about this chapter, mm-hmm. honestly. Like,
I think if we were reading it for the first time, this would be really illuminating as to different aspects of vampire transformation mm-hmm. and mechanics. But mm-hmm. it's all stuff that we've probably talked about before, but we can kind of...
Yeah.
Well, we can work through it. There's, I think... What I liked most about these three chapters is Stephenie Meyer, I think, thrives on her descriptions.
I was going to say the same thing. I think that now that Bella is a vampire and we're getting this story through the lens of a vampire.
Yeah.
And especially a new vampire, because when we were in Edward's Head and Midnight Sun, this is all stuff he's seen before.
Yeah, he like drowns it all out.
He doesn't care about the scenery. He doesn't care about the forest. He doesn't care about the trees, the sounds, the sights, etc. Because it's old news to him at that point. But we're looking in Bella's, like, I think the best way to describe it is like, it's like when you get glasses for the first time if you need them.
Yeah.
And you can suddenly see everything around you and see that there's like individual leaves on the trees and like read things that you couldn't read before and like that kind of stuff. But Bella's having that experience multiplied towards 1,000 because she can, that's happening with all of her senses.
Yeah. Yeah. But before all of that, all of her senses are completely overtaken by
pain.
The pain of transformation.
And Renesmee's actually born in this section, we think.
Yeah, because we're going back in time, a couple of minutes.
So she's at first screaming at Edward to take Renesmee out, but he's trying to get morphine in her before he's absolutely cutting her open, doing the worst
C-section. Yeah, we already know the details of what occurred. Oh my god, it was so
gnarly.
Yeah.
Before she blacks out, Edward is able to tell her that it's Renesmee, not Edward Jacob. Thank God.
she says, "Not the pale and perfect son of my imagination." I felt a moment of shock.
Boy moms.
She's barely conscious. She doesn't really know what's happening to her body. I mean, her spine is broken, so she can't feel what's happening kind of below a certain amount. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, she doesn't have any sensation in the lower half of her body until her spine fixes itself with venom.
Crazy. Cool. Yeah.
But she sees Renesmee.
Yeah, Renesmee, she doesn't cry when she's born. That's bad.
First of all, that's Mary.
Is it really
that's one of the like distinguishing factors of the birth of Mary.
Are you fucking shitting
because
me?
In Christianity and Islam, they believe, most people believe, that babies crying when they're born is them being touched by Satan with original sin. So Mary, in order to be a vessel for the Messiah, is, whether you believe that's the Son of God or not, if you do, then you're Christian. If you don't, then you're Muslim. In order to carry Jesus, you have to be, perfect, right? So she has to be untouched by original sin in addition to... So, like, Mary and Jesus are the only two people that don't have original sin.
And how did Mary get to be like that? That's interesting.
She was chosen. Before her birth... Her parents dedicated her to temple service. They were like, if you just give us a child.
Like a repentance.
We will make
almost
him work in the temple. And then it's a girl. And they're like, oh, shit. Only boys are temple workers.
Oh.
And so she goes anyway.
Okay.
And she's perfect. So
she was chosen.
Was chosen before her birth.
Interesting.
The angel Gabriel visits her and she becomes pregnant.
Very.
How horrible.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well.
So it's giving Jesus, it's giving Mary.
It is. Of course, Bella is like, she's perfect, right? So Renesmee has no original sin.
Right, yeah.
Somehow.
I mean, it does make sense that like a partial vampire birth, like it would be a perfect being, right? Like hypothetically, like she's half perfect.
Vampires are perfect
and humans are fallible, like then
that's interesting.
Yeah,
but then there's also like the same, I feel like, you know, vampires would be like in so much lore it's like they're satanic in some
she's
way.
Actually a lot like Jesus, because Jesus as a baby, depending on what you believe, I feel like in Islam, definitely, maybe in Christianity, I don't even remember, but in Islam they believe that Jesus could talk as a baby. Like, immediately.
Shut up.
He could talk, and he did. And he started prophesizing as a baby.
Oh my god.
And so, that's Renesmee, really.
That is Renesmee.
I didn't really put it together. Like, maybe that's something that I learned hypothetically back in the time, but I don't feel like they talk about that in the Bible.
Yeah.
But they very explicitly do in the Quran. Jesus is talking right away.
Damn.
Yeah.
Make him out with words.
Yeah. He had shit to say.
Well, Renesmee comes out with full set of teeth.
Yeah.
So
she comes out with the teeth and she's communicating.
Yeah. The teeth thing really got me. That was the first thing that I was like, you guys.
She's got brown eyes.
She's got Bella's brown eyes. She's got little curly hairs. We don't know the color yet because they're bloody. But she's very pale looking. And also when Bella holds her for that brief moment, she does comment that her skin doesn't give the way that Bella's does as a human. So she's got like a thicker vampire skin. But just a full set of teeth that she uses to bite right away. She bites Bella.
They take her away.
They take away that baby.
They're like, separation. That's enough.
And, you know, Bella starts to die, which she describes as like a crushing weight of blackness over herself that she's barely resisting in order to keep her promises to Edward and Jacob about surviving. This is, I felt like the description of her transformation is so, like, it's good. It's interesting and relevant to, like, Bella's character and her life as a human so far. And, like, she says the pattern of her life is that she's never been strong enough to deal with things outside of her control to attack enemies or outrun them or to avoid pain. She says, the only thing I've ever been able to do was keep going, endure, and survive.
Yeah.
And that's kind of descriptive of, like, the first part of her transformation where she's just, she's in so much pain that she can't move.
And she can't.
But also, it's morphine, right?
Yeah, morphine is, like making it impossible for her to, like, scream or, like, break through. It's like she's feeling this pain. She's then also feeling like she's being kind of like pressed down by the morphine so that she cannot like lash out, flail around, scream, communicate, etc.
Yes.
And she's felt this before to some small degree when she was bitten by James.
Yeah.
So it's like somewhat reminiscent of that. But she also like she was screaming and writhing in pain then.
Right. Right.
But now she's perfectly still.
She's still, and at first it's because of the morphine. And she starts to, as the transformation starts, she starts feeling it in her heart first because that's where Edward has injected her with a vial of venom. And it becomes painfully hot. And her heart beats throughout the transformation and, like, very rapidly.
Yeah.
Youch. At first, like, not thinking clearly at all, but then like once the venom hits, I think she's like she is thinking very clearly and she's able to like walk us through everything that's happening. But then she like her primary motivation for staying quiet is so that she doesn't disturb Edward and make him feel bad about what's happening.
There are moments where she wants to scream and tell them to kill her.
Yes.
And I'm like,
indeed.
Skipping New Moon.
Yes, I know, right?
The narration's like, let me die, let me die, let me die. And it's like, whoa.
Well, on the previous page, like, before she starts feeling the venom, she's like, I'm holding on because for Edward and Jacob and Renesmee. Like, those are the thoughts that are keeping her alive. And then it's like, it's so much that she wants to die. So I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah. But then once she kind of works through that feeling of wanting to die and she gets closer to regaining her consciousness and waking up and all that, she is making a conscious choice, not to scream because she knows that it'll hurt Edward and she would rather be able to wake up and lie to him about it not hurting that much.
Yeah. And the morphine thing, like, she tells us that Carlisle and Edward and her, like, were kind of hoping that maybe the morphine would make her transformation less painful, but she kind of already, she had already had venom and morphine in her system once before when James bit her, and she knew that it didn't help.
Right.
But she's, like, gonna, try to allow them to believe that morphine can somehow outride the
which
transformation
hypothetically,
pain.
Like, they're never, I would say, like, I'm kind of conflicted on her lying here because it's, like, at some point, it's, like, whatever, you know? Whatever. Yes. But then I'm also like, they never really do plan actively on making new vampires. But they do come across people and make them vampires sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do think it's maybe important. And she does plan eventually to let
she
Carlisle
does say
know.
Eventually, yeah.
Sneakily, she wants to let him know so that like he can know at least. But it's, interesting.
Yeah. She starts to be cognizant enough to hear the people around her talking. And she, you know, Edward's sitting next to her this whole time. and then the kind of other Cullens come in and out and talk about her, and he wants to be able to know that she's okay, because she can't even, like, she thinks if she even twitches her finger, it's gonna like unlock her screams.
Yeah. And they can tell that the morphine is gone at this point because they can smell it.
Right.
But it's, you know, now she's transformed to the point where it's probably impossible to get that into her system again.
And she's starting to have questions, like, where is Renesmee? Like, what else is going on? Like, obviously, they were in a situation with the pack that was really contentious. So she's wondering what's going on with that. And she's kind of eager to get answers, but no one's really, like, saying the answers around her.
Edward is not convinced that she's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Which is very Edward of him. And Carlisle's not worried at all.
No.
Carlisle's like, she wasn't that much worse than Esme was.
Yeah. And which is interesting. They can hear her heart
doing
its thing. And Bella starts to have, like, these vampire senses slowly creep in. Mm-hmm. So, like, her hearing improves over the course of this transformation. She can hear people, the vampires, walking, which she couldn't hear before. And she can hear the differentiation and the sound of their steps. And, like,
I like how it's described that she's got so much extra space in her head.
Yes.
Like, more capacity for thought. Like, she's got room to think about their conversation, room to remember what happened, room to look to the future, and room to suffer in.
Yes.
It's like, wow, that's good.
The range. Yeah. Yeah. More capacity for feeling. Yeah. And Bella is, like, counting the seconds and, like, listening to Edward's breathing. At one point, she says 21,917 and a half seconds later. I'm like, girl, you're counting to 21,000?
Yeah.
And that's 6 hours, by the way.
Edward's breaths, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, 10,943 breaths.
Oh, my God. This girl, this is a Virgo. She's
got the time.
Yeah. Well, now she also has the vampire capacity to count to 20,000. That's so Edward counting the bugs, by the way. The
vampire capacity, and I would argue maybe even compulsion, because Edward also counts like this. Like, he counts bugs.
Right, the bug
in his
thing.
Like, in his subconscious, like, and he's actively choosing to, like, count things sometimes.
Yeah.
I think it's just something that they do.
Yeah. So they're keeping the baby away from her, right?
And she does already get some, she's picking up on a little bit of weird tension between how they're talking with the baby now, because obviously the imprinting has happened. We know that.
Yeah. She doesn't know. Blissfully unaware of that.
Carlisle says something to the effect of, I thought I'd seen everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
There's some dynamic she's picking up on between Edward and Rosalie and Jacob and everything else.
They're watching baseball down there, though.
They are. Yeah, she can hear the baseball game. She's like, but that's not distracting enough for me. I'm going to go back to counting Edward's breaths.
Yeah.
Baseball's not going to cut it. The last part of the transformation involves her heart taking off beating like helicopter blades, she says. Her heart beating so, so intensely that it sounds like it's going to fucking explode, is how it reads. But then her heart stops beating.
Yep. And she opens up her eyes after she has all the pain kind of melt away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the chapter.
That's chapter 19.
Not much going on there.
Yeah, right? I think that we talked about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's really nothing going on except for just graphic descriptions of pain.
Yeah. Oh, classic Bella.
Classic Bella.
And that leads us right into chapter 20.
Yeah.
Which is called New.
New.
And here's where we get these really interesting descriptions of what she is seeing. Which, and the thing that's always stood out to me is that she can see a new color at the end of the rainbow.
That's so fun.
Very fun. The vampires can literally see, like, so much dust. More light that there's different color.
yeah,
and the dust, she's like, the dust is so beautiful. Uh-huh. Like, she can see every facet of the dust. She also discovers that she doesn't need to breathe. There's no relief in the breathing, but it does give her a sense of taste, and she can taste and smell the room in incredible detail.
And she can also hear all the way to the freeway.
Yes.
Because she hears some, like, faint rap music driving by, like a car passing, and she's like, that's the freeway.
Yeah.
So she's like, crazy. Really, like, oh.
And she can smell, like, all of the Cullens. She can smell Edward in a different way, and like all these other scents coming in. I always think it's interesting the way that vampires enjoy the same smells as humans, but it's not tied to taste in the same way.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But it's still, it's still like rising bread, chocolate, cinnamon,
all pear, things that she wouldn't want to eat.
Yeah.
But our only tastes, I mean, I guess they're the sense of blood for her now.
I guess.
Yeah.
She also notices how Edward's hand feels.
Yeah. She actually doesn't recognize his hand.
Yeah. Because it's like a totally different texture and temperature to her now. It like isn't hard to her anymore.
Hard and cold.
She's also hard and it's not cold to her. Yeah.
Yeah, so it actually freaks her out. She has like an instinctual moment where she
jumps,
bolts up in like fraction of a second, and she crouches into a growl, like a predator stance in the corner of the room. I don't even
remember this in the movie. Like, I don't remember it. I'm just picturing Brie. Like, yeah. The way that Brie kind of stands and acts as a newborn. Because I don't really remember Bella acting like this in the movie.
I don't know if they quite go that far.
I don't think they do.
I always found... So all the Cullens are in there except for, like, Rosalie. Jasper and Emmett are kind of guarding everyone else, like, being the, like, they're on their guard because she's a newborn. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, give her some privacy.
Yeah. It's, I feel like if they have had the experience of waking up as a newborn vampire, like, you're making her smell all of you and hear all of you for what?
Yeah, and she's like, she's getting used to her body. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny. They all really want to see.
The most overstimulating thing you can ever experience. Yeah. And they're just like the fucking like audience. Just like, we're gonna watch.
Yeah.
And they watch like all the way up until she's like basically out of view, running off into the forest to go hunt. They're just like standing there like, and they're not talking very much. Like Edward talks to her, like a little bit, but like they're not talking to her, which is so weird. Like I feel like they're a little on edge. Not Esme sure doesn't how say she's anything. Act. Nobody, yeah.
Emmett doesn't say anything.
Right.
Jasper and Alice say very little. Carlisle says a little, I think.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's weird.
It is weird, especially because she's really getting her bearings here. Mm-hmm. She's starting to understand that, like, she is the most dangerous person in the room.
Yeah. The state.
Oh, yeah.
She's probably the most dangerous person in North America.
In the tri-state area.
Yeah.
And it takes her a while to, like, find speech.
She's saying she needs better words. She can't find the right words to describe or talk or whatever. And I kind of wonder if, like, having all of these different sensations and experiences, I wonder if that is something that compels vampires to learn other languages. Because, like, they're, you know... across the languages in the world, like there's so many different languages that have terms for things that we do not.
Totally.
And I imagine that must be like, you know, part of what that make that appealing, in addition to like communication and blah blah blah. But like, I think it might be appealing to vampires to like get a more complete range of like words to describe their experiences that are so much bigger than our experiences as humans.
All that space in her brain, as she said. She's touching Edward a lot in this section. She's like exploring touching him a bit, and immediately she like gets horny and she's like, wait.
She's like,
and everyone's there.
You told me I wasn't gonna be like this, but I am.
But here it is. So that's kind of her first really solid feeling. And she throws her arms around Edward and hugs him. And he kind of has to pull back and be like, you're hurting me a little bit, actually. I mean, the first words out of her mouth are, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And her voice sounds different. And then they start making out hard in front of everyone.
Everyone.
In front of everyone.
And they're
everyone.
Like clearing their throats and like laughing a little bit. But like, oh my God, the family is right there. Like relax for a second.
Yeah, she's having this moment of like, oh, he's never kissed me like this before in front of my salad.
Right, in front of my salad. I mean, everybody else is kind of on edge. Jasper especially is like a little like, he's probably the most worried other than maybe Edward. Yeah. But like he's the most worried because he's like... She has to eat.
Yes.
She has to go
priority
eat.
Number
like,
one.
Please go get her to eat. Like,
yeah.
And I think they're confused that she is able to, like, put it off and that she's not immediately presenting with this thirst.
Right. And the fact that she asks about Renesmee.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this part where she, I don't even know where it is, but she kind of looks more closely at Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
And with her new vampire eyes, all of his scars are so much more visible and are like the prominent feature of looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And that like kicks up some instincts in her.
Yeah.
And he kind of notices that. Mm-hmm. And he I think that's, despite that, I feel like that's like kind of his moment of being like, hell yeah.
Yeah. He's like, by the way, I'm really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she like, kind of comments respect. That it makes her feel like, or it makes it seem to like a vampire that he is dangerous.
Yes.
Because he has suffered so much and come out alive.
And he's killed a lot.
And he has and killed a lot of people.
People have attacked him and he's lived through
he
that.
He has won his battles.
Yeah.
Consistently. she does lie to Carlisle and Edward and says, it's really hard for me to remember the transformation.
Yeah,
I just liar. Opened my eyes and I could see everything. Yeah. And Carlisle is like, well, amazed. So and she's like, I'm going to have to talk to him later. Carlisle immediately is like, tell me everything you remember. And then he's immediately like, oh my God, no, I'm so sorry. You must be so thirsty. And that's what kicks in her thirst a little
bit. Hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
So thirst, it's really clear to us here that thirst is experienced as like a burning dryness, pain in the throat. And if being a vampire in this universe means having a sore throat all the time, I would never.
Yeah.
I hate having
a dry throat. Mouth is the worst. Yeah. Like, if I take a full weed gummy for bed instead of half, like the suburban mom that I am, and I wake up with a dry mouth, give me death.
Yeah.
Honestly, if my water's right next to me, I'm like crawling out to the kitchen, like I'm crawling to water in a desert, basically.
If I get a little sick, I get a little sore throat, even if that's the only thing wrong with me, I'm going to be a bitch about it. Mm-hmm. And I am going to lay down and do nothing until that ceases. I'm
gonna chug chloroseptic spray.
Yeah. So that sounds not fun.
Vampire laryngitis.
Another thing that this is the thing that really got me, though.
Yeah.
About the section on 399. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I want to see Renesmee.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it's weird. Like, she's not inside me anymore. And she drops her hands down to her perfectly flat stomach.
Yeah. What the fuck? What the fuck?
It's been returned to her. It was flat before and it's flat now. The vampire transformation has, like, fixed all of her injuries and, you know, everything that was different about her body because of the pregnancy. I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
It healed her spine. I mean, in the middle of her transformation, her spine heals and she then feels pain for the bottom half of her body.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, too, the way that she's describing her human memories. And she does say, like, that they are muddy. She knows from Rosalie's experience that if she thinks about those human memories enough, that they will remain clear enough for her to access in her vampirehood. And she's prioritizing in her brain at this moment the memories that she has of her pregnancy, which I'm like, girl, that was miserable.
Yeah.
Like, and also, maybe you can should, forget that. Like, you have Renesmee. Like, so you're going to be fine. You're going to remember her. But, like, maybe worry about, like, you know, memories of Charlie and Renee and, like, your human life that wasn't the last 4 months or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, like, concerned about losing the memories of what it was like to carry Renesmee. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just the beginning of the Bella mummification.
I know. And the memories of her human memories of Edward.
Yeah.
And such.
Right.
She has her perfect body. Way more self-control than anyone could have anticipated, which makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. She's really prepared for what she was going into. So they're keeping Renesmee from her because she is half human and she has heartbeats
and blood.
And they don't want to put her in any danger, of course. Mm-hmm. It takes them fucking forever to go hunting.
It does. But
she's learning like what it means for a vampire to be distracted and that she's like kind of all over the place in this section. Oh, they also tell her that her transformation lasted for just over 2 days, which is a little on the shorter side. It must have been because Edward put so much venom in her.
Yeah. And she does directly ask, like, what's going on with Rosalie, Jacob, and Renesmee, and Charlie.
Yeah.
Like, what did I miss? And
they're like,
she's like, what's wrong? And Carlos is like, wrong. And she's like, something's wrong. And it's like, there's something incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
Deeply, deeply wrong.
Yeah.
I understand they cannot tell her that without, like, risking Jacob's life.
Yeah.
At this moment.
Yeah.
But. Like,
you gotta hunt first.
I literally cannot wait.
I know. It's the. We have. In this section, we don't find out about Bella's reaction to the imprintation yet.
So. Literally the only peaceful moments of her vampire existence.
Yes.
Because in a few short seconds, it feels like
it'll all
compression down, and she's gonna have to realize that her ex is in love with her daughter,
her baby. Yeah. So they're not telling her about that. They do tell her about Charlie. Charlie still thinks that she's sick and that she's undergoing tests at the CDC in Atlanta.
And they gave
him a bad number.
They're so wrong for that.
So he's frustrated, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, wait, Jacob's still here? And it's like, yeah, unfortunately, for fucking forever.
Yeah, he's still here. Yeah, Jacob's still here. And
I'd be changing the locks.
Oh my God, yeah. And before, once again, before they can get out hunting, Alice is like, wait,
I have to do something.
There's something so important. And she goes and she gets a huge mirror that's twice the size of her.
Bella does say that she's shocked when she sees, like, Alice for the first time as a vampire because of how beautiful she is.
Yes, yeah.
Even which she does more say detail. About Edward, too, but I'm like, she is saying it about Alice.
She'll probably say it about Rosalie, too. Yeah. And Carlisle. She says it about Carlisle as well.
Yeah.
She says looking at him is like looking at the sun.
Yeah.
But yeah, not Jasper. Jasper just looks scary.
Yeah, Jasper looks cool.
So, yeah, Alice is like, I need to be here when Bella looks at herself as a vampire for the first time. Because apparently she didn't ever look at herself when she was dressed up for her wedding.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're not doing this the second time. Yeah. Edward is like, maybe this has solely to do with your own voyeuristic gratification, which is a perfect description of everything that Alice does.
Yeah. And Bella really doesn't recognize herself.
No, like, not at all. She describes herself in the third person.
She describes herself as an alien creature. Yeah, she is talking in the third person, talking about how she's smooth, strong, flawless, pale, fluid, luminous as a pearl.
Pale as the moon.
And then she's horrified. She can't find, like, anything that, like, she recognizes in herself. She barely recognizes herself. She can't find anything to latch onto. She's horrified by her eyes being red.
The only thing that she eventually, like, she's like, my upper lip is a little asymmetrical. At least I can recognize myself in this little imperfection. I'm like, oh dear.
My God, yeah.
Honey.
I know.
I'm sure she'll surely, like, get used to it, but she's doesn't have this, like, I don't know what Alice was looking for. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like Alice was looking for her to be like,
I'm beautiful.
And Alice was like, you were all alone. Yeah. Or whatever. This is like when we were in high school. Definitely high school, maybe middle school too. The company that did our like yearbook photos every year had you couldn't opt out of it, automatic facial retouch.
Oh my God.
And it removed my freckles every time. Up until my senior portraits, which were through a different company.
Right.
All of my yearbook photos, I look completely unrecognizable.
Have you ever seen your senior portraits?
I don't know. They're hanging in my mom's house.
Maybe I've seen one or two.
But I don't think you've actually been to her.
I've been to her.
You were at her old apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know where they were in that one. But yeah, I have straight hair in my senior portrait. And
I'm going to need to pull these up for me at some point.
I don't know if I have a copy of them, but I can ask my mom to send me a picture. Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't do any of the, like, actual, like, go out and take photos things. Okay. I just did the, like, one that they use with, like, the black draping for the yearbook or whatever. Mm-hmm. But all of my school pictures, like, from around middle school to, like, junior year of high school, I look completely unrecognizable myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even then I looked unrecognizable, which was so weird. I was like, what did I do?
I've definitely had some touched up photos taken of me before and I've been like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. It's so weird. It's like, you might think that you want that and then you don't.
Or like, I'm about to go renew my passport and they've made a new law that you can't have your glasses on in your passport photo. Oh. And I don't recognize myself without my glasses
on. You can't see yourself.
Like,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to look at it and be like, what the fuck? Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bella is like, who's that bitch? And she also, it's giving that new moon nightmare that she has at the beginning. I don't know. It's in the book, right? Where she, you know, in the movie where she, like, touches the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's like her grandmother, but it's her. Mm-hmm. It's giving that. But instead of, you know, this nightmare of her, like, growing old, it's like now she's a vampire. And she can't recognize herself. It's kind of a full circle moment there.
And Jasper's amazed by her because she's controlling her emotions. Like, she gets upset. What causes her upset is that her eyes are going to be red for months.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that.
No.
But she gets upset, and then she realizes that they are concerned that she's upset. She reins it in and gets it under control.
Yeah.
And Jasper's like, I've never seen a newborn vampire do that.
Yeah.
How are you doing that?
Yeah.
Which is going to start, I believe, this is just the first in a series of many things that are unique only to Bella.
Right.
And her exceptional self-control.
Exactly.
That are going to be so fucking frustrating. I hope Jasper gets mad, honestly. I hope he's not just, like, bewildered, but I hope he's like, why the fuck does she get it easier than the rest of us?
I know. Surely there should be some envy there, but I think he also, I feel like I remember him, like, being like hanging out with her a lot because she's so happy.
I also feel like it's frustrating because it's not only like a newborn vampire thing, but like she's so able to control her thirst right from the bat, and like Jasper's still working on that.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Like he's still actively having to like work at not killing people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that does kind of suck.
That does suck, yeah.
But maybe it will be good for him to have her around. Like, maybe he feels like he can soak up some of her self-control
or something. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah,
I would too. I'd be like, okay.
I would go full Rosalie about it.
Yeah.
And Edward's, like, frustrated for a second. He was like, I guess part of me hoped that I would be able to read your mind once you were a vampire. The opposite is going to be true, but she says...
Well, he'll get in there.
Eventually. He'll get in there eventually, yeah. She says, I guess my brain will never work right. At least I'm pretty. Tattoo that on
She's
my body.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my brain will never work right.
We've all been there.
At least I'm pretty.
I'm pretty, though.
That's the end of chapter 20.
21. 20.
20.
Sorry. I don't know what happened there. I was looking at the number 21. Yeah. And I was like, that must have been chapter 22 that we just read.
Yeah, we're going backwards.
We're reading backwards. It feels like it sometimes.
Oh, geez. Let's do a little, let's look at the weather.
Yeah.
What is it like?
This fine day. It's quite similar to how it is here. It's 43 degrees in Forks right now, high 56, low of 35. No rain, but it's cloudy and a little windy, which is pretty much almost exactly what we have going on today.
Well, very nice. It's almost like we're there.
Mm-hmm. But we're not. Sad.
I know.
Sam had to renew their subscription to
Forks Forum so I can get the news. Okay. It says your subscription will be processed within 48 hours. Oh, it's not automatic.
I guess we're not getting the news.
I got a new debit card, so my subscription stopped working. We pay like $7 a month to get the Forks Forum news.
Single-handedly.
Yeah. I can still see a little bit. I can see a little bit of news. Let me see what I can pull up. The second graders are learning gardening skills. That's the latest news. There's this piece by some Forks High School seniors about some like scholarships.
Oh, cool.
It's auctioned. Interesting. Oh. It's, coming up on the end of the school year for Forks High School. Always interested to see the graduating senior class photos that come out, you know, and like how many of them there are.
Yeah.
So that is something we'll have to look forward to.
We'll celebrate the grads.
This is an auction, a Forks auction that goes to the students. It's a scholarship for students. It's a Quileute Valley Scholarship auction. Very nice. They're always doing small town stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. What a joy to read about.
We love Forks Forum.
We do. I should call them. They'd probably answer.
I bet they would.
Just ask what's going on.
Yeah.
What's it like over there right
what's
now?
Going on?
What's going on?
Small town America.
One more chapter here for you.
Yeah. And then we're recording a mini-sode, so let me plug the Patreon real quick.
Yes, please do.
We're recording a mini-sode. Can you believe that Sam's never had key lime pie?
I've never had it.
In a mini-sode, Sam will try it. A celebration of Florida, Renee, and Phil.
If it works, right?
Yeah, this is what you want. There's a tie-in.
We've had this Patreon for so many years at this point. It's like,
we've done everything.
Do whatever we want at this point. There's not that many patrons. So, and like, which is great. Mm-hmm. I love having our small little Patreon community. And like, the less of you that there are, the more I'm like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, a little bit. Because it's like, they eat it up.
Key lime pie, yum, yum.
I'll
also plug the Patreon. I'm working on some playlists. This month's playlist is centered around vampire transformation.
Ooh.
Been working on it for quite a while, actually. I have some ideas that I just like throw into playlists. I feel like I started throwing ideas into this playlist like a year ago. I also have one that I've been throwing ideas in for a year for Renesmee. The first song that I have in it right now is a hyper pop song by Alice Glass called Baby Teeth. Chilling.
Yeah.
Well, chapter 21,
first hunt.
Yes. I liked this chapter.
This was interesting. Yeah, I guess Stephanie really does shine in her descriptions of the natural world, I think.
And apart from Midnight Sun, this is the first glimpse we have of Edward hunting. Mm-hmm. And we get, really, this is, like, the closest we get to, like,
scary vampire
behavior. And like, understanding, like, what that process is like, and what it feels like viscerally for Bella. And let me just say, you know that when Bella was transforming, Alice made sure to dress her up for her first look at herself.
Ice blue silk dress.
Skin tight. And short. Yeah.
It's giving homecoming.
It's like, that's like, honestly, a vibe.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into it, but Bella's like,
and silver satin shoes.
Yeah, stilettos.
That she throws back into the house when she jumps down. Which Bella is like, so they're going to jump down through the window. And Bella's like, I'd never been afraid of heights per se. And it's like, yeah, you famously fucking jumped off of a cliff 20 days ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was like not like long ago
20 minutes ago.
But she is kind of like self-conscious of like her family watching her do all these things for the first time. She has
doesn't
to jump
be clumsy.
From the second floor of the house, right?
She's afraid, genuinely, that she's going to be the first ever clumsy vampire. Yeah. And it's like, you're not. But I also feel like there's something to, like, the mental block of, like, I can't just
jump out of a two-story building.
I can't just jump across this river.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's definitely something there that's not just physical, but she certainly can.
And, in fact, she's actually quite graceful. They book it. I think she also notices at some point, I think when she's jumping across, she's trying to jump across the river, her dress tears, like, up the side. Hilarious. Her outfit gets sexier and sexier as time goes
Honestly,
on.
Honestly, like, surprisingly sexy.
Surprisingly sexy.
Like, I'm like, Stephanie, for real?
Yeah. Well, now that she's a married woman and a full vampire, she can...
But in front of all the others?
In front of all the others.
Out in the world.
She chooses to rip her dress, like, all the way up both thighs. So that she can run better in it. She hears laughing from the house when she's doing this. If she can hear Jacob laughing inside, that, and he's watching her, but she chooses not to turn around and look at him so that she doesn't get distracted. She also says, like, this is Alice's fault, you know? And Alice always seems to treat clothes as if they were disposable and meant for one-time uses, so, like, she won't be pissed. And it's like, fast fashion is Alice's fault.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, entirely. It's like Alice treats all fashion like fast fashion, which is so funny.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, she's definitely got the mentality of, like, if I wear it once, I can't wear it again. Like, which, it was always genuinely so shocking to me. I've worn this sweatshirt maybe four times this week.
Oh yeah, I'll wear the same. Wear the same. If it wasn't dirty, I would just, like, wear the same clothes all the time.
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah, I love to wear the same sweater for a full week.
Absolutely. Yeah, and she throws the shoes back in the house. She realizes she threw them too hard, but somebody catches them before they can damage the paneling.
I wish she broke something.
Yeah, and Alice, like, her fashion sense hasn't improved as much as her balance.
It would be great if she broke something, because remember the deleted scene in New Moon where she throws the money and breaks the window or something on accident? It'd be funny if she, I guess it makes sense that she doesn't break anything, but it'd be funny if she threw that into the house and broke something with the stilettos.
Yeah, I think, like, if it were literally any other person transforming, they would have broken something.
Yeah.
But Bella's perfect.
She's perfect.
And she's infallible.
Yeah. No mistakes from Bella anymore. Mm-mm.
So, yeah, they jump across the river.
Yeah, like 50 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's starting to feel, like, how powerful she is.
She starts to be worried for the forest.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm going to damage a tree. Yeah. Like, I'm going to hurt my surroundings.
Yeah.
Which is completely the opposite of how she's felt her entire life.
Right. Yeah. She's, like, starts to be aware, like, oh, if I wanted to, I could dig under this river and go that way, too. Mm-hmm.
She's outdoorsy now.
Yeah, she hikes.
And she remarks as she's running, like, she understands now why Edward is never hitting trees when they run really fast. Mm. She doesn't get winded. She's expecting to, like, feel some sort of, like, either pain or, like, she's expecting to be gasping for air, but she doesn't feel that, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's just like totally strange. She's recognizing that there's lots of creatures all around them. She's saying the forest is very alive. It really made me remember Midnight Sun, where Edward is counting all those bugs, yes. which I think is genuinely the funniest part of this entire, like every single book.
How pivotal that moment in Midnight Sun is that like, I think about it. It like that there's so many moments here
when
that
I think about Midnight Sun, that's what I think about. I think about the bugs.
True vampire experience.
I would hate the realization that there were all these bugs around me.
Yeah, are you
kidding? I don't care if I'm a vampire and they can't hurt me. Yeah. I don't want them anywhere near me. I don't want to know about them. I don't want to hear them.
Do you think in the same way that animals like birds or squirrels or whatever and with that they can sense like that there's a predator nearby mm-hmm. and they avoid vampires, do you think bugs would also avoid you as a vampire? Like certainly no mosquito is going to be around you.
No mosquito is going to be around you because they, they're
there's
not
no blood
to you. But yeah, I guess maybe they would scatter away.
Like, do you think there's any spiders living in the Cullen's home?
I don't know. I feel like, is there something in them that realizes that vampires are not a threat to them?
Maybe. I mean, you would think normally it's like, spiders, like they bite and so do vampires. Right. Like mosquitoes, like they're kind of similar to vampires. So they would maybe
I don't know if they're maybe not even
them,
bothered by vampires. Yeah. But how do I make myself as intimidating to bugs as possible?
Yeah. Honestly, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I am not a bug person.
Mm-hmm. She notices as they're running that Edward has fallen behind, which she initially thinks is because she's faster than him, but literally 5 pages from now we discover that he has let her feel like she's faster
Coward.
Than him, which is so funny. Yeah. There's no reason for him to be doing that and he does it anyway, which I think is so funny. He's like, let me give her this one thing.
Yeah, and she's running like, you know, leaps and bounds, and she's like, oh yeah, my body's not tired at all. Mm-hmm. And like running through the forest, like her sight doesn't blur. She mm-hmm. sees as clearly as ever. And she also keeps getting like distracted from the fact that she's supposed to be hunting.
Yeah, because she's so amazed by everything. And Edward finally is like, are you gonna go to Canada or are you gonna maybe stop and eat?
Yeah. They do come across a pack of elk. She smells them. There's this beautiful description of he Edward's trying to, you know, help her open up to her senses so mm-hmm. that she can hunt instinctively. So he's like, you know, listen to what's around you. Like, what are you hearing? So there's this really great description on 415, kind of everything happening in the forest, and then honing in mm-hmm. on more specific things, including these elk that she starts to go for.
But as she's going for them, as she's about to prepare to strike or whatever, mm-hmm. the wind changes, and out of the south she catches a new fragrance so attractive that there wasn't a choice. It was compulsory. Mm-hmm. And she kind of freaks out a little bit. She freaks out not only with the scent, she feels like an instinct to go after it.
Does she run toward it at first?
I think she does. Yeah. And she
runs.
Also is alert to the fact that she's being followed.
Yes.
By Edward. And so she turns around and like hunches down and growls and snarls at him.
Yeah. Not realizing in that moment mm-hmm. that
it's just Edward.
That it's Edward. That's hilarious.
And he freaks out with his arms up as if he's going to like try to restrain her.
Yeah.
Because he thinks obviously that she's going to kill this human hiker that she's gotten the scent of.
Yeah.
And she...
I kind of wish it went that far.
Apologizes. Yeah. That's
gonna be fun.
She's like, I have to get away. And she fucking runs off. No problem. And he's like, can you?
Yeah.
Leave? He's shocked.
She's like, yes, yeah. Of course I can.
She's like, yeah, I'm gone. Consider me gone.
Yeah, I'm not. I was never here.
Yeah. But Edward catches up to her and... She's like, I'm really sorry that I growled at you.
Yeah, so sorry, babe.
And he's like laughing at her.
Growl at him more.
And he's like, that's only natural. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's like,
such blasphemy,
laughing incredibly loud. It's echoing off the trees.
Yeah.
He thinks this is the funniest thing that's ever happened. He's amazed, etc.
Yeah. And she's like, why are you laughing? And he's like, well, you shouldn't be able to do any of this. Mm-hmm. And you're so rational and you're so calm and cool, collected. And like, you're behaving like you're decades old rather than a day old. And well, she's like, well, I knew it was going to be hard, so.
Yeah, she's like, I'm prepared for
this. She's incredibly lucid.
Yeah, and she also does mention something that I think is interesting. She's like telling herself to keep herself under control and watch her temper. And yes. She says, it's almost yes. like I was a young werewolf rather than a vampire. Like,
what?
And it's like, dude, it's almost like you're very incredibly similar.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know why she said
this false dichotomy. I think it's because of this false dichotomy that like Edward has built up in her head that like yeah. vampires are much more rational and naturally able to take care of these things and like keep their tempers under control, and like werewolves are like irrational,
are never like that, apparently.
Savage, etc.
Yeah, but she knows what newborns are like,
right? And it's like, it's so weird. It's very this weird. Like clear double standard, racist double standard,
yeah,
where she's like, I've got to act like a werewolf and keep my temper under control, and it's like, you have to act like a vampire and keep your yeah. temper under control.
Hello, you're a hello. vampire, you're a vampire.
Knock knock.
Oh my god.
And then she gets horny again.
Yeah, then they like make out or whatever.
She is like,
or maybe they don't, I don't know.
Yeah, Edward is like shocked. How are you concentrating on this? Like, you should be incredibly thirsty.
Yeah, she hasn't fed yet.
Yeah. She's
a different kind of thirsty.
Yeah, she's like, I actually contain multitudes. I can be two things at once.
I can be horny all the time.
And hungry. Yeah, horny is her baseline feeling, which I wonder too. Great. If like Jasper can pick up on that.
I'm sure
he's like horrified.
Yeah,
not that she like, they're not really she wasn't concealing it because they were just going at it right in front
Jasper,
of everybody.
I think if you're Jasper, you have to be into it.
Yeah,
a little
it
bit.
It has to like be his thing
a that little. Has to be like, there's got to be a kink there.
Yeah,
like a voyeur, maybe a voyeuristic yeah. thing.
Yeah,
he's an empath,
right?
The vibes in that house.
Yeah.
God, toxic. you have to lean into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she does find a mountain lion
mm-hmm.
and easily takes it down, and kind of a bloody mess. The mountain lion tears through her dress.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's not wearing a whole lot. And I do love that the first animal she takes down is Edward's favorite.
Yeah. And it is fun. Like, the descriptions are really good here.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I feel like Stephanie's using Bella's super senses as an excuse to overindulge in some extra scene setting and like exploration of the world around them that would feel really overdone if we were not in the context that we are.
Sure.
Like, a normal human narrator wouldn't be able to like perceive these things, and she's like diving a little deeper than that. So
yeah,
count this as my one nice thing to say about Stephanie Meyer today.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so she has this whole lion.
She calls it a lion, and it took me a minute to be like, a mountain lion.
It's a mountain lion.
It's a mountain lion.
It's a mountain lion.
And that's it was than very a lion.
Yeah, it went down very easy too. Yeah. And she's still thirsty after.
She says it's as effortless as biting into butter.
Yeah, yeah, no contest.
The way that she describes it too, which I think is very interesting, is like, the taste isn't appealing.
No.
It's the sensation of it quenching the thirst that compels her to keep drinking.
Right.
It's not like the flavor is,
it's like, not like humans.
Yeah, appealing to her.
It didn't smell like the humans. But yeah, she does notice that the mountain lion smells better than like the elk or the deer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward's like, well, it has to do with them being carnivorous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the herbivores don't taste as close to humans. Like, it's something about the meat eaters does, which is interesting.
Begs the question of vegetarian
humans
smell. Yeah, exactly. Vegan humans like, don't smell on? As good to vampires, maybe.
Yeah,
I would think the whole same thing would ring true, but maybe the scent of human overwhelms the like the nuances between omnivorous and
yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's like, I guess like they're just, there's more blood in their diet,
I guess,
so they just are bloodier.
It's
in
like
taste.
A
I don't
it's
get
like
it,
a but. A like, what am I thinking? Turducken? Like a bloody turducken, as opposed to just eating like one of those things.
Yeah, just a good old mountain lion turducken.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a variety pack.
A bird inside a mountain lion.
Yeah.
Inside a vampire.
Right.
She's all roughed up from taking down this mountain lion. Like, her dress is torn, her hair's mm-hmm. matted, she's like muddy and bloody. And Edward's like, you did well. It was more difficult for me to watch than it should have been.
At first when he said that, I was like, are you grossed out by this?
Yeah, but no. He's like, it goes against the grain letting you wrestle with lions. I was having an anxiety attack the whole time.
Honestly, I know that they're trying to That's do this. Funny. And like Edward gets really weirdly possessive over like Bella's experiences and wanting to yes. be present for them. But wouldn't it be better to send her out with like Jasper and Emmett?
That would have been so fun.
That would have been so much better. Cause like Edward is, I feel like Edward more than Bella needs to ease into this experience.
True.
Edward is still gonna have these instincts of protection over her that like are not necessary anymore.
Yeah.
And in order for her to get this true experience of hunting, like, wouldn't it be more fun to send them out?
Yeah. Together? And I would hope, you know, especially now that she's a vampire and she's not, you know, Jasper is no longer a danger to her.
Yeah.
She can spend time with the Cullens with and it will be easier for them mm-hmm. and easier for Jasper. I would hope that like it would change the dynamic
mm-hmm.
Or like open up new opportunities. But, you know, we're only going to get Bella and Edward all the time.
Which is fine. Yeah.
Which is fine.
And I keep remembering that Alice and Jasper are about to disappear for a good portion That's of true. The rest of this book, too.
Yeah. Ugh. So never mind.
I wonder if it's hard for them to be around Renesmee.
I don't know.
I don't know if we get that tidbit. Because she does have human blood, right?
And yeah. So
I would assume that if they're saying, like, oh, Bella, we're not going to take you around here, that, like, they can smell that and it is somewhat appealing to them.
Yeah. Right.
She's still thirsty.
She's still thirsty, so they go get some deer.
Yummy.
Edward is, like, pleased by the change in her dress, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is why it gets so sexy.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, well, they don't smell as good as the humans, the deer. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, we can go back for those humans, whoever it was out there, if they were men. If they were men.
Unnecessary compet.
They probably wouldn't even mind death if you were the one delivering it. In fact, they would think that they were already dead and gone to heaven the moment they saw you.
Which I think Bella maybe said something similar about Edward when he was describing him killing people.
Mm.
She was like, they must have just been so overtaken by your beauty, as he's like describing like murdering people.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that he was really disturbed by that, but now that he's seeing it
yeah.
in Bella, he's like, oh, I'm actually into
definitely
that.
True for Rosalie.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Her dress is so fucked up that she's not decent enough to go back to the house.
Yeah.
The way she's dressed. Oh, and then we get this part where she watches Edward hunt mm-hmm. for the first time.
Because she's trying to figure out how he does it so cleanly and
yeah,
neatly.
He's not bloody. And she does say, all the times that I had wished that Edward would not have to leave me behind when he hunted, I had secretly been just a little relieved because I was sure that seeing this would be frightening and horrifying mm-hmm. and that it would make him look like a vampire
mm-hmm.
to me. But it was different now from this perspective as a vampire. But she says, I doubted that even my human eyes would have missed the beauty here.
And then says it was a sensual experience.
Surprisingly sensual. It's like, I could have told you that it was going to yeah. be like that. Are you kidding me?
Have you ever seen any vampire media, Bella? Like,
I know.
Hello? Like, yeah, of course.
My favorite scene in Discovery of Witches is when Diana makes Matthew take her hunting.
Yes.
And they yeah. don't do that in the show. But yeah. it's such a good
it's
scene.
It's so good. She's like, so I well need done. To see this. I need to understand
and
it.
And I need you to trust that you can yeah. do this in front of me and mm-hmm. read the book, you guys.
You have to read the book, everyone.
Yeah.
It's so well done. And I think, like, one of the things that sets this book apart, too, is that sets Discovery of Witches apart
yeah.
is, like, the other creatures and vampires have some sort of, like, override power sometimes mm-hmm. to the main character. Like, they also can tell Matthew what to do. I'm thinking about Philippe specifically.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Like, Philippe is like, I actually know what's best.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, even Carlyle doesn't seem to be able to override Edward very much.
Right, yeah. Edward is kind of, like, untouchable.
Yeah.
And I mean, now, for the first time, and hopefully we get to explore this more, like, Bella and Edward are finally equals.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
We'll see.
I hope. We'll see how yeah. they treat each other, but I think that's why this, like, reading Discovery of Witches is, like, so satisfying, because it's about two people who are, like, so much more equal.
Yeah, no, so much more
a
equal,
witch and, a vampire.
And she doesn't have a desire to be like him.
No.
And yeah. there's, like, no...
There's the
like,
power there, struggle,
like,
but it's not about...
She's not going to be a vampire.
Yeah.
They're going to fundamentally be different forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, so it's, like, a very different vibe, but now that Bella and Edward are... I mean, this was the only solution for them,
mm-hmm.
and now that they're equal, it's gonna be... hopefully a relief to read about, but mm-hmm. but now that he's not gonna be worried about killing her when they have sex, it's definitely changing the vibe, right?
Yeah. And she says now that she's eaten, you know, a deer and a mountain lion, that she feels very full, sort of sloshy even. And she thinks that she can't hold that much more liquid in her body.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And where does it all go?
It gets like the absorbed.
Venom? Like, does it just turn into venom, basically? Like,
it must.
I don't know. What's the processing of that like? They don't pee.
You know, they don't piss blood. Imagine if they kept that from her this whole time. You're actually gonna piss blood.
What's the difference between your life? I'm not pissing blood.
I'm so normal. I'm not normal. Pissing blood.
Anyway,
so she's full. She's like, okay, I want to see Renesmee.
Yeah, but not before they make out.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, she keeps getting distracted. Well, right? Yeah, it's disorienting. She does to read say, about. And I want to be Renesmee,
and then Edward's like, let's make out.
Yeah, they make out instead.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to do it in the forest.
I really thought that they were,
they
too.
They should. Like, yeah. Why not?
They deserve it.
And she is feeling so much love that she's like, maybe this is my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
My vampire superpower. I love Edward harder than anyone ever will.
I rolled my eyes in such a big way when she said that. I was like, okay.
It's actually not going to be your power, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly kind of it. She's like, okay, I've checked my boxes. It's time to go be a mom.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny because, you know, the birth process is kind of fuzzy to her right now.
Right.
Like, her transformation is stronger than the memories that she has of being...
Right. She wants to see Renesmee because she's like... It's hard to remember what that was like. So she's, of course, very eager to see what this little baby's all about.
Yeah.
God.
So she's about to be fundamentally changed again.
Yeah.
Because she's going to... From this point forward, she's going to be mom.
Mommy time.
Mommy Bella.
Mm-hmm. That's the end of chapter 21. This was definitely Bella's first foray into vampirism. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to get back into the drama, I presume, next time.
She's going to want to kill Jacob.
Ugh, can't wait. That's going to be refreshing, actually.
Yeah.
To have Jacob and Bella.
I'm sure it's going to get, unfortunately, racist.
Oh, it's going to get racist.
Be able to enjoy it as much.
It's going to be, it's like, I can't, it's going to be so horrible to be like, he's imprinted on this baby, and so I can't even, like, enjoy the fact that he's not gonna, like, be pining for Bella anymore.
Yeah.
I won't be able to enjoy Bella-Jacob friendship as much as I want, because there's always gonna be this thing hanging
over
it. It's
not friendship, it's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And son-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kill me.
Yeah.
We've made it. She's a vampire.
She's a vampire.
I'm so happy for her, honestly.
This is what she always wanted. She has it now.
And she also has a baby.
And she's got a baby, which she did not want.
She did not want.
But then she did want. Life comes at you fast.
It really does, especially when your pregnancy is only 1 month long and now your body is perfect again.
This is basically like her experience was basically like those like shows that are like, I didn't know I was pregnant.
Yes.
Like people that just like fucking go to the hospital and then like have been pregnant for 9 months and give birth and
they
never knew.
Yeah.
It's my worst fear.
Cryptic pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or cryptid pregnancy when you're pregnant with a cryptid.
Cryptic pregnancy. Amazing. All right, well,
thanks for listening.
If you're a patron, hope you enjoyed the key lime pie episode. That's obviously,
if you're not a patron, get in there. It only costs $1 to join our Discord. Mm-hmm. We had some new people join recently. It's always nice to have some fresh blood.
And I think it's always fun too, because I think a lot of the people that have joined recently are like friends of existing patrons.
Yeah, I love that.
Too, which
That's
is really
so sweet,
fun
guys.
Like, thanks guys.
Tell a friend to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
See you next time for some imprinting discourse.
This was really like the peace, like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Like, we'll never have this again.
There's going to be a bunch of new characters.
17 more chapters, you guys.
Imprinting, but this wasn't that bad.
Yeah. That's all, Forks.